nobody is just a worker. Everybody lives in a life situation that's a little bit complicated by all of these other things, and you have to actually argue your point to them and convince them because they're agents in their own life. This is my book report about what is left out of Capital Volume 1. Very often when people are attracted to socialist politics, their first impulse is to read Capital Volume 1. In Capital Volume 1, Marx uses the labor theory of value developed by Adam Smith and John Locke to explain how economic value is produced. And so that's the one thing that they know about Capital Volume 1. But it's actually the least interesting thing. It's not Marx's idea, and actually it's not the point of Capital. The interesting point of Capital Volume 1 is the concept of fetishism. According to the concept of fetishism, what Capital does is it sets up objective relationships between human beings and subjective relationships amongst objects. So, to take a very simple example, your boss might be a very nice person, but if you're not making money for him in your job, he's not going to keep you on. And on the other hand, if you have a great deal of wealth, it gives you a certain social relationship with people all around you. Marx shows during the course of Capital Volume 1 that capitalism is set up to increase the wealth of a few, in other words, to generate more and more inequality in the world. It mars the social relationships between people, and it makes people act amongst each other in a mechanical way that's kind of inhumane. There are all kinds of things that Marx doesn't talk about in Capital Volume 1. Here's a short list. This is not all-inclusive. He doesn't talk about how capitalism began. He doesn't talk about what kind of relationships are at work between capitalists. He doesn't talk about colonialism. He doesn't talk about slavery, feminism. He doesn't talk about national rights or the rights of minorities or feudal oppression or climate change or religion. These are all things that mattered a great deal to Karl Marx, and he wrote about them extensively in other places. They're just not in Capital. And so if all you read is Capital, you probably don't know much about all of those things or what Marx thought about them. You'd never know, for instance, that Marx actually thought that India could skip the capitalist stage of development because all you knew is Capital and all you know is the Communist Manifesto, where he says capitalism is going to break down Chinese walls. And you might think that there are stages to history, which Marx actually changed his opinion about later on in his life. So but the one thing that's the most lacking from Capital is a theory of social power. What is the state? What is a revolution? What does it take to get power? What kind of politics should we aim for? But Marx was at heart a radical democrat. He believed that through education and the widest possible franchise, that a socialist society could be created. After 1848, when the bourgeoisie fought for a democratic revolution, but then at a certain moment backed away from it and sabotaged the resulting democratic institutions by limiting democratic rights. So, for instance, you couldn't vote about how production happened or about material inequality. Marx realized that at a certain moment, in order to complete the democratic revolution, that the organized workers would have to assert themselves in an independent fashion. And that's why he was a revolutionary. Ironically, the over-reliance on Capital Volume 1 has led many Marxists to reduce workers to just their objective function within the economy. And so a lot of people end up thinking that all you really have to do is explain to workers, hey, look, you're being exploited, and then workers should sign on to whatever political party you have. But it doesn't actually work that way because nobody is just a worker. Everybody lives in a life situation that's a little bit complicated by all of these other things, and you have to actually argue your point to them and convince them because they're agents in their own life. And it's ironic, too, because that's kind of the point of Capital Volume 1, is that we shouldn't treat each other as if we are just objects that can be moved around on a political chessboard. That's my book report on Not Capital, Volume 1. Thank you for your time. An almanac tells us what the climate is, when to plant and when to reap. In this Democratic Socialist Almanac, I'm going to review the history of the socialist tradition in the light of the latest scholarship. I'll be talking about the good, the bad, and every one of us living in between. Once we've sorted out how we got here, we'll survey the paths now open to us and begin a discussion of where we want to go. Follow us on Facebook, support us on Patreon, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.